Hey guys, welcome to Backstage with Millionaires. I'm Caleb, your host, and today the guest that we have on the show is Subhash Chowdhury. He's one of the co-founders of a company called Dukaan, which is essentially making it easy for businesses to take their offline businesses online in less than 30 seconds using the Dukaan app. So your story is really interesting, and I kind of want to hear it from the beginning. So tell me about your early life. I know you there's a Twitter post where you talked about your entire life and your mom being sort of a tailor and you coming from a small village essentially in Bihar. So let's just start there.
Yeah. So I come from a very like poor family from Bihar. My father expired when I was 3 years old, and up till 10 years I didn't know what happened. If you don't have fire, the financial situation of the house is really bad. So my mom has to work as a tailor. She used to make 10 rupees, 15 rupees sewing clothes for the people nearby, and used to put me in a school. I did my schooling till 10th. After 10th, I was like, okay, what next? What can we do next? So mom forced me that, okay, we can do 12th, no problem. So I did 12th, and after that, I wanted to do graduation, but the kind of financial situation that we had, we couldn't afford it. So my mom said, okay, do one thing, go to Mumbai and you go and work with your uncles that live there. Most of the uncles that I have in Mumbai used to work as a security guard, the kind of people that you see standing in front of your gates or in front of your offices. They used to work like that. So that was like the destiny I had. I went there and I tried to, one of my uncles said, okay, this is not the kind of future we want you to have. So let's do one thing. Let us put in some money and do some contribution and put you into something better, which have some better scope. Till that time, I didn't know what is a computer. I didn't even see a computer. So they put me in the institute where I could learn the basics of the computer. That was like the basic hardware and networking. I learned that. And after 6 months of learning, I got a call from a company called Zenith Infotech. I went there in that company. I was 17 years old that time. So they took my interview. They were like, okay, we are impressed with your skill sets. Now we want to hire you, but since you're not 18, we have to do some things. So they did that, no problem. So I joined that company as a trainee engineer. That was like my first job.
What were you doing there?
My job was to take chat support calls from the guys from US and help them into troubleshooting their problems. Within a year or so, I worked really hard. My job there was to work from 7 p.m. in the evening till 3 a.m. in the night. I worked in night shift for 2 years, and the kind of performance that I have given was like really, really good. So there is something called increment where they increase your salary, and they did it 3 times. So by 3 times, I mean my salary was X, it was 3X within a year.
Okay.
I was like, okay, and then I was promoting, and within 4 or 5 years working there, I was promoting from the trainee engineer to the technical lead. They're like the top of the line in the technology field. And I was like responsible for the infrastructure, the support, kind of managing around a team of 200 people I was managing there.
What impact did this have on your sort of family life back home in Bihar? Like, were they amazed by...
Yeah, so the kind of money I was making there was like around 50,000-60,000 INR a month. That was like a really good amount of money. I bought a house, and my marriage proposal was coming in. A lot of people were very happy about this. Then I met a girl as well in that same company that I used to marry. But of course, it's like India, you can't have a love marriage without fun. So we had a lot of fun, but we ultimately married. Then in that year, recession hit India, and there were like a lot of firing. And my manager, my boss actually asked me to fire around 80 people from my team. And I was like, okay, this, the fate of these people who work with this company for almost 5-6 years now is like anyone can fire them anytime. This is not something they should be doing, right? But I couldn't do anything, right? So what I did was, okay, I tried to learn that, okay, how do I put my fate into my own hands instead of someone else? So I started learning. So I made my first blog on some Baba on India. That blog got like lots of hit. I made my first $100 from there. Then I realized that, okay, if I can make $100 from internet in 1 month, what is the scale of it? So I started learning more and more and more. I went toward affiliate marketing. How do you promote someone else's product on internet and make money from there? I made my first $1,000 promoting product from ClickBank. That's a company. Those kind of stuff. Then I said, okay, $1,000 is cool. However, how do we reach $10,000? So once I make $1,000, that's like close to 70,000 rupees in INR. That was much more than my salary. I said, okay, this is enough. Let's put down the papers. I will be my own. So in 2013, around 2013, I put down the papers in the company and moved full-time into digital marketing, where I started creating blogs.
Did you feel like you had sort of tapped into some secret knowledge that like nobody else, like even I don't know anything about this stuff, right? Digital marketing and like making money from blogs and the internet, like like, were there days when you just sort of like looked at how far you had already come and you could hardly even like believe it?
Yeah. So the thing with digital marketing at that time, even now, is that there is a lot of people who want to do it. I mean, if you search for make money online, how do I make money online? You will see almost 200,000-300,000 people searching for it from India every month. But the kind of hard work it takes to get inside that is too much. People say, okay. And then the top of the pages are filled with all get rich quick schemes where people like gurus of the internet will try to take money off you and just don't teach you anything. So what it took was it like, I think almost 6 to 8 months of 8 to 9 hours of learnings, efforts with no rewards. In the initial first year, I used to do things, I used to do make backlinks, blah, 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 everything, and it didn't work. So I had to continue doing it for almost 8 to 9 months before I see the single return out of it. What I think most people miss is the kind of that phase, that learning phase that you have to put in no matter what you do. Whether it doesn't matter whether it's in digital marketing, whether it's anything, any profession you are into, there is a learning phase there where you have to put in your effort without worrying about the outcome. If you try to expect outcome within a month or two, you are going to get disappointed and you are going to be in line of thousands or millions of people who are just trying to make something out of sight. That was like 8 to 9 months. But I was like determined that, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what the future is for me. I don't want to continue fixing problems in Active Directory for people, right? I mean, I don't want to continue fixing printer problems for life. That is not the future I imagine. I wanted to do something. And
you saw this as a way out almost.
This was a way out. If I can make something on the side, I can have some financial support. I was recently married. I was going to have a kid. So that was the kind of financial support. And not just that. That was like the kind of, I saw the scope. If you build one blog, you can build 10 blogs, you can build 100 blogs. But in job, no matter what you do, there is a fixed salary, right? How much you can make. And the kind of industry that we are into, the kind of salaries that you can make is like limited by your next person that is in the line with you. And that is not too much. That is not too great. So I was like, okay, let's do this. So that was the thought process behind doing it.
Sure. And it sounds like this was sort of like, you probably didn't even know the word entrepreneur at this point.
No, even right now, I don't know the spelling. If you want to spell, I have to Google for the spelling for entrepreneur. This was like, this is fine. It's a fancy set and kind of things that we learn in MBA. But I even didn't do my graduation, so MBA is like too far ahead. Mm. That was the thing.
And at what point did you and Sumit meet?
Yeah, that's very interesting. So while I was doing this blogging and everything, I used to post my screenshot that, okay, hey, look, I'm very happy today. I made $1,000 without doing anything on the internet. I didn't want to lure anyone or sell anything, but I was just happy. I was just some achievement that you want to show, right? If you make something good, you want to show people. So I used to post screenshots on Facebook. Sumit, at the same time, parallelly, while I was doing these things, parallelly, Sumit was also, I think he must have told you a story, right? He was also in the same phase where he was coming from. He left the college, then he built the first website for someone. Then he started his blog, then he started two blogs. At the same time, he was also entering the industry parallelly. He used to know me from Facebook. And he saw the screenshot. He was like, very interesting. So one day he texted me that, hello, I want to meet. I want to see what you are doing, what I am doing. If there is a collaboration we can do between two. We said, okay, no problem. Let's meet. So that's when it was somewhere in 2013 where we both met at a conference. And I was like, okay, this guy is interesting. The stories that he has been telling was very fascinating. I was very detached from the startup world. He was in the center of the startup world, the Powai Valley. Powai Valley was one of the hottest startup from India that time. The tiny all, the housing, all the big startups from India was coming from there. And he was like sitting right inside it. He has kind of so much insights. He was telling me that I met Kunal Sah, I met this guy, I met that guy. I was like, wow, dude, you're CA. So he gave me the proposal. Okay, so let's do one thing. I have a proposal. Let's start a company together. We will make 50 lakhs in the first month. I was like, this guy is out of his mind. 50 lakhs is too much. We are not going to make that. But there's no harm in trying. I was anyway working from home. I was like, this is like everything is blocked. The only thing I can sue is out of the window. So let's work together. We'll see what happens. It's like a risk worth taking. So I used to live in Virar at that time. And by Virar, I mean it was like from the main city. It's like 2 hours train journey in the Mumbai local train. I must know you have heard of the story. And the local train is crazy. So I was like, okay, this is not something. Let's do one thing. Let's connect together. And let's see what we can do. So I moved from Virar to somewhere where he was also living. That was like a nice place. I got a nice house and rent. And we started the company together. In the first month, our revenue was like 4 lakhs more than what he promised.
54 lakhs.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is going good. Let's see what else we can do. So within 3 months, the first office we had was like around a 300 square feet office. In next 3 months, we got a nice bigger 3,000 square feet office. We were paying around 3 lakhs rupees rent for the office. We put 22 lakhs in the office interiors. That was like, okay, this is like something, we are going into something. I was very happy that, okay, whatever he's saying is true. And the kind of team he built, he got... couple of nice guys from Pune, a couple of his old friends, the kind of stories you could tell, convincing power that he has. We like kind of built a really great team, and with the team we were able to scale. We got the first customer that was Housing, then Taniol, then Wavecoof, then lots of other, then we have Sony, then we have McDonald's. We kind of, within 1 year, we saw that, okay, we have customers lining up. We don't have time to actually serve them. It was like a crazy year. We were like, okay, nice, very nice. But then we realized that, okay, this thing can go, but there's not future in it. There's not much you can do running a service company. So at that time, we said, okay, let's do one thing. Let's productize what we have built as a service. So we realized there was a couple problems in the industry, like how the company used to do marketing. And we saw there is a gap that we can fix with technology. So the Ranx company that was born out of that, Ranx was launched within 6 months. We had closed 100K MRR. And that was like good numbers for a SaaS company. The Ranx was going all in all. It was very good. After that, then COVID happens, right? In this year, COVID happens. And in COVID, kind of, we saw the pain. We used to talk about like, yeah, problem. There are a lot of problems in the country. A lot of things are like not happening right. And I could see the pain. He come from a, you know, shopkeeper family. He's also coming from like very modest family, like me. His uncle was a shopkeeper. So I could feel the pain that he had. But there's not much we can do, right? I mean, what we can do? The entire country is the problem. What we can do? Suddenly, one day, I think he must have told you the story that Jockey messaged like, hey, we are not accepting orders online. And he was like, if a company like Jockey is not able to manage things, like if you're getting order on WhatsApp, there's no way they are going to manage it, right? It's going to be chaos on their side. So if a big company like them is going to be chaotic in this phase, what is going to happen to the small shopkeepers? They don't even know how to use something like that. So he quickly thought of that, okay, what we can do. We already had a team in place, right? The Ranx team was already there. So we quickly built a small prototype. He used to go to the restaurants, talk to restaurant guys that, okay, how we can help make you get orders online. He used to talk to shopkeepers, those kind of people, and we built a prototype. The prototype went live within, we said in our internal groups, the kind of internal community we already had, and we saw a really good response. Then somehow those people who created stores, they told their friends. Their friends used to then came and started using the app. Within a very short time, we had like 7,000-8,000 stores which went online, orders started coming. Then we realized that, okay, this thing is going to blow. So then we left everything and we started posting on how we can post more. And then we kept posting it. And within a month's time, we had close to 1 million stores online. And that was like pre-funding. We didn't even have funding at that time. So like, okay, then the funding started, the investors started to come in. We had like, at one point we had 3 term sheets with 24 hours deadline, and we had to choose which one to go with. We were like very confused, Consul and I have which one to take, which one not to take. It was like very fascinating. We were not able to believe that this is real or this is like still yay. But we were like, okay, let's pick these 2 guys. We will go with them. And then the funding happened and everything. From there, Dukan was like, just yesterday, if a restaurant at my home in Mumbai that I used to take order from went online in Dukan, someone sent a text message that, okay, Shiv Sagar restaurant is now on Dukan. I was like, okay, this is the restaurant I used to take orders from. That was like really, really, really interesting. That, okay, now we have built something which is touching lives of the people who are closer to us. Earlier, we used to see only the numbers, right? We could only see the numbers that, okay, we have like 100K users per day. We have 200K users by now, whatever. We just used to see numbers. We couldn't put a face on those numbers, right? Like, who is the guy who is using the product? But now once we see people closer to us who are using it, like we work with lots of vendors. And some vendor will tell you that, okay, my wife is using your product, or someone will tell you that my sister is using your product, she created this store. Then you kind of see that, okay, now everything is like connected, and it's kind of like very fulfilling when you see that whatever you're working on is actually touching lives of people. They're getting orders, they are able to meet their demands and everything. So this is very fascinating what we are seeing right now.
Definitely. And also being CTO, I think it's especially gratifying for you because you're sort of in charge of building the actual thing, right? And then you're seeing the results of all of your hard work, in the hands of these people, these merchants or these shopkeepers who are using Dukan for the first time and realizing the potential, right? So how is that? Tell me a little bit about the product journey from day one, you know, the initial concept, what you had imagined at the beginning versus, you know, how has it transformed over time?
So initially, when we started, it was like a very simple app. We have a web app, we have an Android app. And on Android app, you upload products. On the web app, you order things and the order comes in. Then we started to realize that, okay, this is like very, very basic things. Now they want to be notified. When we started, we didn't even have a notification engine that how do we notify the stores. Then we put the notification engine. Then we were like, okay, the buyers, they have no way to know that what is the status of the order, right? Then we thought about how do we put some updates for the buyers as well. So then we put the WhatsApp notification, and WhatsApp API was like very expensive that time. and like out of our reach. Like WhatsApp API is like very difficult to get. So how do we notify those users? So we used to collect SIM cards from our people in our village that, okay, give me 10 SIM cards, give me 20 SIM cards. We'll put those SIM cards, we'll put those SIM cards in different phones. Then we like kind of automate those entire phones so we can send the messages from those phones to our buyers. And that we used to sell like 20,000, 50,000 WhatsApp messages a day. That was like a big task that we used to sell to our seller, to our buyers. They used to know that, okay, something is there. But the kind of experience there was not good. So then we work on getting the actual WhatsApp API, we integrated WhatsApp. After that, we are saying that, okay, now WhatsApp is there. What next? What next? What next we can put inside the product? Then we see that, okay, the kind of products people are adding is not like efficient. So now we are working on how do we make that process faster. Then a couple of more enhancements like, okay, now when you are adding product in cart, let's say you are buying a t-shirt. Now, when you are adding the t-shirt, you don't know which size you have, right? The seller doesn't know which size he wants. He doesn't know what color he wants. There was like some basic things. So we put in those features that, okay, how you can add, select your color, and how you can select your car, select your lesser size. Then people started selling things which were not even imagined. Like people is selling, like someone is selling a land. Now, land is like something we didn't imagine. So you sell t-shirts in like LM sizes, you sell t-shirts in colors, but land is like sells in gunta. So some seller will call and say, sir, I'm selling land, but the only options that I have are like kg. I can't sell land in kg, right? So give me that option. So we used to put in that, okay, let's do one thing. We will put that thing. So those kind of stuff started coming in. And from there, it's like complete journey that, okay, everything is fine now. Lots of people are asking for different things. We are putting it together. A lot of people are asking for online payments. We are trying to put online payments into the picture now. So like it's a journey. Still, we are just getting started. There is a long ride ahead. We just have to see what we have to go.
Okay, so that is what the product is. That's how it's been built. But I'm curious to know too, talking about competition in this space, you know, what are you guys looking at in terms of competition?
So first, the usual global players, but what we have seen so far, the kind of product that they built is not built for the kind of audience that we are targeting. They simply can't do it from the valley. It's like the kind of insights that we have, the kind of insights they need, they don't have. The next usual competition that we see, the actual competition is from WhatsApp, But from our research and the kind of what we have been hearing from people, as well as the kind of numbers that you can see, WhatsApp business in India is not yet a success yet. The kind of businesses are there in India and the kind of numbers that you see for WhatsApp business is not too much yet. Even recently, if you see WhatsApp have launched the WhatsApp Pay, but the kind of awareness is not there. And second, after that, even if they are somehow able to get the awareness, they are not able to reach the people who will actually use the WhatsApp Pay as an entrepreneur. And until that is there, like if you see the payment player in India, what they have done is like the kind of push that was needed from the payment players in India to get the UPI payment done is like really, really high that WhatsApp is not going to put into. The kinds of insights they need for India, they don't have. The kind of usual changes that they need, which is like very India specific, not even India, very specific to the industries in India. Let's say, see, like Dukan is a platform, is fine. But if you see Dukan as like macro level, right? It's not just one thing that everyone is doing. Dukan is a grocery owner, right? Everyone is selling different things. We have close to 200 categories of people who are trying to sell things on Dukan. And we have to like think about each of them separately and make sure how do we make sure we are trying to cater to the needs of that guy. Someone is a restaurant, someone is selling groceries, someone is selling shoes, someone is selling t-shirts, someone is selling something else, which is like very India specific. WhatsApp as a platform might, and I don't think will be able to go into that detail. And they have the entire world to cover. They are not going to cover India only, right? They have the entire world to cover. Any change that they make on the app is going to take ages to actually go live. If you see the updates that WhatsApp pushes, it's like once in a month or so. That kind of a speed in India is going to not work them. We post like 2-3 updates a day. We are like always on the call with people, always on the call with customers. We kind of goes on trying calling random people. That, okay,
I've seen it walking around this office.
What are your problems? I mean, the top customers that we have, they have our personal WhatsApp numbers. Whatever problems that they have, whatever feature they need, whatever new thing that they need help with, they directly call us. Kind of connection that we have, those kind of players, is not possible with a product manager they can simply put into, right? The kind of insights that you need, that is not going to come from there. WhatsApp is a good competition to have. I mean, if WhatsApp is trying to enter into your space, that is like the biggest validation that you can have, that okay, you're onto something, but we are not too much scared about them. It's fine. I mean, let them come, it's fine. We'll see how it goes. It's very early stage for them. And so far, the kind of products that they have launched in payment space and other business related things, we have not seen really, really large adoption from the rural India, the kind of people in India who actually transact in these things. They might be successful in a couple of cities, that's fine, but the kind of India that we talk about, it's not going to work for them.
So we just sort of, we're talking about competition here, and I need to like address the elephant in the room, which is a Katha book, right? Yeah. And how they're basically in the same space in a way, right? They're not doing the exact same thing, but they were almost sort of like a source of competition for you. And then there was this big sort of controversy and going to court and stuff. So I just wanted to know, like, specifically about your investors, right? What was their response to that situation?
Yeah, so our investors were aware of everything that was happening. When we received the first notice, we tell them everything. And even before the notice, when the DD was happening, even before the DD, when we were talking about the initial talks with investment, we told them, okay, there is this thing. This is not much of a matter, but this thing is there. It might come. And they were like, okay, don't worry about it. We know we are betting on you guys. We don't know. We don't worry. We have to worry about what happens to the product. As long as you guys are there, it's fine. They were betting on the people and they were like, okay, this is going to work. What they are doing will work. It's a matter of technicalities, how long it will take to resolve the legal matter. And that was like very supportive in everything. Even on the last date of hearing, where it was to be decided what happens in the hearing, right? They said that, okay, we know you guys have some second thoughts that if the hearing goes other way, that we will not back you guys. So here is one thing, let's do one thing. I will wire my money first before the hearing. The hearing is tomorrow. I will wire the commitment that we have done right now. So you don't have any second thoughts that we are with you. And they actually did it. Metrics and Lightspeed both. They wired the money in our accounts before the hearing happened, where it was decided that, okay, your app will no longer function. And it was like, okay, that was like really nice to have. It kind of gives you a lot of comfort. Like even we were worrying that what will happen, right? So it kind of gives you the comfort that, okay. And we were sure that, okay, now we know that we decided to go with the right kind of people, right? Metrics like is like always founder first. Lightspeed is always a very supporting team. They will help you with everything. You tell them the problems, they will try to fix it. Until they fix it, they will not back out. So we're like kind of really glad to have that kind of early backers, at least as investors, who are be very supportive with whatever we are doing. Any decisions that we make on the company level, they're like, okay, you guys are free to do what you want. Just tell us what is happening in terms of updates. Other than that, we will not force you any decision. We will not force any hires on you. You guys are on your own. Do what you want. We know you will take the right call, and this is not your first time anyway. So we know we will take the right call, and it's fine. We know this is going to be a really big company. So let's grow it together. And we are like happy with it. See, when we started raising money, like the numbers that we had was not too great, right? It was like very early stage, probably 15 to 20 days of the launch. So there was not too much numbers to back up. There was no financial DD that you can do, right? It's like very early stage company. There's no finances to look into. There was no revenue model. There was nothing. The only thing that they have is that who is building the product, what they have done in the past, and what are their credentials, and kind of what they have built so far, the kind of stories that we told them, the kind of connections that we had with the customers. They called, I think, once we gave them the data, they called, I think, close to 800 or 900 customers, the sellers. They called themselves and spoke to all of them, and all of them told them stories of the product, how they're using the product, how they're able to get sales. And that kind of also fascinating that, okay, these guys are onto something, and let's back them up.
I wanted to know also, you guys, it seems like you guys have a great team here, a great team of people that are working really hard. How many employees do you guys have currently?
Right now, we are around 12 people.
12 people, which is quite a small team. But you guys are all working really hard. So I'm curious to know, how did you guys actually go about building this team? And maybe from the perspective of knowing that there's a lot of people watching this video right now who have never started up, but they're thinking about it, and they have no clue about how to build a good team.
Of course, right. So when we are building the startup, the founding team, right, the core team, the kind of team who will have, you know, much more control on how the product is, like, say, how the backend is, how the technology is, the core team is going to have a lot of control. A lot of decisions that they're going to make will impact your product in the long run, in the short term as well. What we have seen is that instead of picking people based on their skills, we kind of pick people based on how much they believe in the idea, how much they believe in the product, how much they are able to familiarize themselves with the problem that we are solving. And once we have that there, skills anyone can learn, right? Skills anyone can learn. We can, once we are at a scale where we need actually people who are with skill, we can just throw money at them and they can come to us. But if you don't have the core team which believes in you as a founder, which believes in the company, the product, the kind of problem you are solving, you are going to have really, really hard time building a product. They will like, okay, I'm a stud. Whatever I need to do, will do my way. Those kind of problems will come, and this is not our first time. We have seen it in the past as well. So we kind of pick people who we like that, okay, these are the kind of people that we will get along with really well. They connect with us. They kind of believe in our story. They kind of believe in what we are building. They kind of believe in the impact that we are going to make. And once we have them, it skills everyone. I think the guy that we build the Android app, it was the first time he built an app. The guy who built the Dukan Android app was the first time he built the app. He was a backend guy. We told him, okay, now you have to make an app. He said, okay, I will learn that, right? He learned Java and he built the app. But the point of this was that you don't have to hire people who are like too skilled into that specific skill that you're after. You just have to hire people who are like totally into you, totally in the idea that we're building, and skills they can learn, right? Right now, anything in technology is not rocket science, right? You're not building rockets. It's like simple things that we have to do. Anyone can go on internet if they have like enough motivation. They can just go on internet, watch a couple of YouTube videos for a couple of nights and start and build things. And I have seen it building. I'm a tech guy now, but I have no formal coding experience. I have no formal coding education. I completed my 12th with commerce, that is like accounting. I learned how to build HTML sites, then the WordPress site, then PHP, then I learned JavaScript, then I learned Python, then all the DevOps, the infrastructure, all kind of things. I learned myself doing things on the internet, trying to do things from YouTube, from Stack Overflow, from GitHub, those kind of things. I didn't have a coding experience, like coding education background like that. So the point was that you don't have to look into people who are like too much specific into a skill. That might come at a later stage when you're like scaling too fast. You need guys who are like too much into AI, the guys who are like too much into DevOps or ops like that. But when you are starting out, you don't need guys with too much experience. Just pick guys who are like, you know, reliable. They believe in you. They believe in the idea. They believe in the product. And they will help you sell, right? They will help you ship products which are like good enough to start with.
And just, you know, circling back here, you had talked about how you didn't start with any of this experience, right? You just kind of figured it out as you went. And that sort of reminds me or brings me back to the beginning of the story where you are just in a small village in Bihar, right? And your mom is a tailor and that's how you began, right? So I just wanted to close this interview off with maybe some advice or some wisdom that you might be able to share with people who are in a similar situation, right? Maybe they're just a teenager, maybe they're just, you know, went to college for the first time and they left their village and maybe they want to become an entrepreneur, right? What would your advice or what kind of wisdom can you share with people like that?
Of course. So everyone, pretty much every people on the earth, right? So they have kind of thoughts coming on in their mind, what they want to do with their life, right? Whatever they are doing, are they happy with it or they're not? If they're happy with what they are doing, they don't have, you know, ambitions. It's completely fine to live a normal life. You go 9 to 5, you have a nice house, you have a nice family, you raise the family. You are happy in your life, completely fine. You don't have to do anything else. But then there are people who, you know, who are not happy with what they have. They always want something more out of it, right? They want life to happen in a certain way, which is not possible doing the 9 to 5. That time, they have to like think of what they can do. And then while they are doing it, there will be certain points in their life when they will have to, you know, make a decision that, okay, this decision, if I make, there might be a change. And at that time, they have to think about, okay, what I'm trying to do is a very big risk. It involves a lot of stuff. It can go wrong. But if I do this, there is a possibility that my life can change from this point of time. At that point, they have to take a leap of faith and move on that, okay, now from this point, I'm going to do this. If they're able to do that, it might work for them. It's not 100% certain it will work, but if they try, if they like put in the effort that it's needed, right? Like I told you, without effort, it's not going to happen. Until you come with like $1 million in your bank account, you have to put in the effort. And if you put the effort, things might change from that point. Don't think it's going to be easy, but if you take that leap of faith and work it out, like put in the effort that's needed, then there is a possibility that, okay, you will kind of go where you want to go. Not in 1 year, not in 5 years. It might take 10 years. It might take 20 years, but you will actually get there. That is what I have seen and what is I think you should do as well. But when you are taking that leap of faith, don't be stupid. Don't take like decision which is like stupid. If by stupid, I mean don't leave your job until you have a plan, right? If until you have like at least 6 months of running expenses of household, don't leave a job. That, okay, you leave a job and like whatever you're starting will not work out, how you're going to like survive, right? So until you have some plan that, okay, this is all I'm going to do, at least you have some time of backup, let's say 3 months, 6 months backup, financial backup. Don't do that. Don't be stupid. Be smart. Don't be stupid. And from there, just take a leap of faith and do what you want to do and things will be fine.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and the story of also Dukan with an emphasis on the product and the team. I really appreciate it. And I wish you all the best in building this amazing company.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.